Today we have a presentation on working step four, and Colleen has the lead.
Hi, I'm Colleen, recovering COSA.
Hi, Colleen.
Okay, I'm trying to come into the present moment right now. I just want to tell everyone I'm feeling really frazzled and distracted, and so I'm trying to come into this room and actually be here and focus on step four. So bear with me as I try to hit my groove. So step four, this was the hardest step for me so far. Although step five, presenting it was difficult as well, but I think just making it through step four was hard for me. I was thinking about it today, and I realized that it took me 5 months to get through step four and step five, roughly. But most of that was the step four process. Obviously, there isn't that amount of time in the step study, and I think that will probably be an advantage because I probably needed more of a kick in the rear to stay on track because I got so overwhelmed and bogged down in the material, and I made it more difficult than I cared for it to be, or that it was necessary to be for my first fourth step. And you were reminded of this in your step four assignment worksheet, that this is only the first time that you're doing a step four. So I had to remind myself that this is the first time I'm doing a step four. I will do the best that I can now, but I will do other step fours. So if I don't hit everything, if I can't do all of that right now, if I can't get as detailed as I would like to right now, that's okay. So step four was daunting to me initially. I started out, as I always do, by reading about step four. So what I chose to look at was the COSA literature. I have the COSA booklet, and then I also read in the big book of AA, which Claudia sent a link to everyone to. So I looked at that because I also approached the four steps from the perspective of the big book and followed that format of the resentment inventory and the fear inventory and the sex inventory, which is the same format that is being utilized in the step study. And then I read out of a daily reader that I've referenced before from Al-Anon. It's called Courage to Change. So I started there, read about step four, and next I had to decide how I wanted to work step four. As I mentioned, I decided to go with the big book, the same format that's going to be utilized in the step study. And so that'll work well in my discussion tonight. There are other ways to approach a step four, and I happen to decide to do it that way, and it worked out nicely because that's how we're doing it here. I like the organization and the structure of that it provided. I had Excel spreadsheets that I used like this, and then I just marked them up too, and it allowed me to stay somewhat organized, although you wouldn't know it from my Excel spreadsheet. So went with the three inventories, and then what I had to do was to tweak them to make them work for me. Not everything worked for me as the inventories presented them. So you have the worksheets if you've printed those off or looked at them. There are different categories, and I'll explain in my own work where I ran into problems, and sometimes I tried to make it more difficult than I needed to. But ultimately, I had to realize, like, I need to make this work for me. So if I'm working on an inventory and something just isn't clicking, then how do I make that work? And I know that that's already occurring. Megan had sent out a message to the listener about the assets and liabilities inventories in the COSA literature. And I really love that. And that was a great idea. I did not do that, and I ran into the same problem. And I was just using the 1 through 3 scale. So I like how you tweak that. And so that really worked well for me as it related to the actual inventories. So I started with the resentment inventory, and this was the most difficult of the three for me by far. They got easier as I went along, which was good. The fear inventory was the next hardest for me, and then the easiest ended up being the sex inventory. Maybe that was just because I already had 2 of them under my belt at that point in time. But the resentment inventory was tough. This is where I initially got overwhelmed. I mentioned how overwhelmed and bogged down I got with it and started with the resentment inventory. My sponsor asked me to list the people, places, and institutions that I resent or that make me uncomfortable, and I had nearly 3 pages. Were right here. So not joking. I had nearly 3 pages. So she told me that I should narrow it down to 10. And to keep in mind that I might want to focus on people who are currently in my life. I did have some people that were no longer in my life, but they were just 2 people that I was ready to tackle, and I wanted to get those done. They had just been nagging at me, and I had done some work, and I wanted to finish up on them. But the rest of the people were in my life or very newly out of my life and possibly would come back into my life. So I narrowed it down to 10, and then I ended up adding 1 to make 11. And I included myself in there. I thought it was important to include that in my first step 4 inventory as well, my resentments against myself. So that helped. But that didn't end my feelings of being overwhelmed, because then I encountered other problems. I found that I had too many resentments against each of those 10 people. And I was trying to be as specific as possible, which is encouraged in general when working a step 4, to be as specific as possible in one's resentments. But when I did that, I started with my mom first. I thought that would be a fairly easy one to start with in my case. I started with my mom, and I was coming up with way too many resentments just for my mom. And I still had 10 other people, including myself, to go through. So then my sponsor, I just say, okay, I think you need to be less specific. You need to be more general in your resentments. So this is how it was already getting tweaked for me in order to work for me. This is my own little special step 4 wrapped in pretty paper and tied with a bow. And so I actually had to be more general in my resentment. So what do I mean by that? Instead of going through every tiny little resentment I had, for instance, you know, in specific situations, saying that she didn't stand up for me with respect to, you know, this particular person, I grouped all areas of what I determined to be examples of where she hasn't supported me or what constituted emotional abandonment, as opposed to every single instance. So that's what I needed to do. So I got my mom's resentments down to, let's see, 2, 4, 5. After I was able to do that. And so I had to continue with that. Then I struggled with the definitions for the parts of the self that were hurt or threatened. So there's a category that says what part of self is hurt or threatened. And so self-esteem, pride, emotional security, pocketbook, ambition, personal relations, or sex relations. And that should sound easy enough, except I just couldn't really wrap my head around these terms. I thought, well, what do these really mean? And I had found some information that was helpful for me online in looking up step 4. And this came from Dallas B. in AA, where there are actually definitions of all those terms, self-esteem, how
I think of myself versus pride, how I think others view me. So I needed to have definitions. I was like, well, and what does emotional security really mean? And I just wanted to know more about what do these definitions mean? What does pocketbook mean? Well, that one's basic desire for money, property, possessions, etc. So I found these definitions, and that was helpful. So I would just look at these in relation to my resentments, each resentment, and that helped me out. The next category or next column is where was I to blame? So here I decided I was going to do my own thing, and I wasn't going to use the categories that were listed here, selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. Most of them just didn't seem to really fit in my situation, and so I thought, I am going to change this. I had my little Excel document, and I'm going to put all the character defects that I've identified about myself, this is before I even got to step six, obviously, I'm going to write down every single character defect that I've identified by myself and the common characteristics of codependence, and those are going to be all my different possible categories of where was I to blame, and I had so many. It was like 20-some-odd. You should see my Excel spreadsheet. And then for each resentment, I was checking off all these. Again, what was happening, the theme here, is that I was getting overwhelmed. I was getting bogged down. And so here is an example of where tweaking it was not working for me. I ended up having to abandon that. And then I just decided to make this a fill-in-the-blank. Where was I to blame? I was just going to write how I felt I was to blame. But would you believe I got overwhelmed even by that, because I struggled with determining the appropriate level of blame in any situation. So again, my sponsor stepped in. As you can see, my sponsor is stepping in a lot of step four. My sponsor stepped in because I couldn't determine what my blame was appropriately. And she had suggested that in my case, instead of looking at my blame either before, during, or after the fact, because I was really caught up in my responses to whatever caused the resentment. And she suggested then, in my case, that I needed to just look at my blame in terms of anything that I did prior to the cause of the resentment, or that might have occurred during that, but not worry about my response. I was really struggling, and there were certain situations where I felt I didn't have any blame. Things happened as a child. I felt that I didn't have any blame, and it was really hard for me to look at my response, even as a child, as somehow being my blame. And so I just wasn't ready for that. Maybe I'll get to that point at some time. But there were some instances where I put down no blame. But that felt good, too. That felt good to realize if I'm a child and something happens to me, that I don't have to accept responsibility for that. That there were adults in my life who had the responsibility and that didn't fall with me. So after all of that tweaking, I was able to get through my resentment inventory, and that felt amazing just to have that sucker done. and then I ended with writing a paragraph about what I did well in each of the relationships that I had listed in my resentment inventory. So put a positive spin on it before moving on to the fear inventory. And I found that I had done things well. I still struggled in identifying what I had done well, but I was realizing that there were instances where I had, for instance, found my voice and had spoke up for myself in these relationships. And that felt really good to know I did that well. I did speak up for myself in that instance. One of my character defects is not speaking up and not having a voice. So I felt good to identify those areas. The next inventory was the fear inventory. As I said, it's getting easier at that point in time. This one was big for me. I have a lot of fear. So I was looking forward to working on this inventory. started out by writing down everything I was afraid of. Then got my Excel spreadsheet going. And in the second column, which says, why do I have the fear? Why am I afraid? Let me look at yours and make sure. Yes. Yours is the same in that regard. What was helpful to me was to look at what was the faulty core belief under the fear. So if I have a fear of throwing up, I do, then what am I afraid of? Well, at first I'm looking at the inventory, I'm like, well, I'm afraid of throwing up. I just said it. That's my fear. I was like, all right, so that can't be what it's asking. So that's when I had to look at, okay, what's the faulty core belief under that? And for me, it's that the pain would be unbearable. And I had never identified that. So that's really what it was. And then it kept on coming up throughout my inventory. That pain, whether it be physical pain as I'm throwing up or emotional pain, if Aaron were to leave me or if I were to be alone for the rest of my life, that somehow that pain would be unbearable, and it just kept on coming up. Another faulty core belief that kept on coming up was that I am unlovable, or if people really knew me, they wouldn't love me. It was amazing to me to see the correlation between these faulty core beliefs that I have and my fears, which rule my world. That was one of the biggest aha moments for me in working step four, interestingly enough. Then the next column says, what part of self have I been relying on and which has failed me? Well, that just didn't work for me. I tried to make sense of it, and I just couldn't get it. So I just took it out, and I didn't do that. So another example of where I had to make it work for me. And that just didn't fit in for me. And I wasn't going to try to make it work if it didn't. The old me would have. I always felt like I had to follow the rules and do everything just how I was supposed to, and gotta do it perfectly. And I realized that my step four is my step four. And I work it like I need to work it. And I do work it. how much time do we have left here? Perfect. All right, so then the last one is the sex inventory. At this point, it was getting easier for me. So here where I got caught up was in thinking that I was only going to inventory the harm that I had caused sexually, that doing a sex inventory after I identify the people, we list the people with whom we have experienced sexual conduct, then we ask, what did we do? I thought that only meant, what did he do sexually or in sexual relations with that person? And my sponsor had encouraged me to take a broader approach and to ask ourselves what we did to harm that person in any regard. So anyone whom we've had a sexual relationship that we have harmed in any way, whether it be sexually or non-sexually. So that expanded my inventory quite a bit. In fact, most of my listed items here in terms of the harm I caused were not related to our sexual relationship, at least not directly at all. And that was helpful for me. And then most helpful about this sex inventory was the last column, which says, what should I have done instead? And my sponsor encouraged me to change the wording here from what should I have done to what do I wish I had done, just a gentler word, what do I wish I had done. And I really like that about this inventory, and it helped me identify a lot of really healthy behaviors. And I was really impressed because it was super easy for me to come up with the answers. I didn't struggle with coming up with the answers. I knew what I should, I knew what I wish I had done in those circumstances, and I hope that in the future I will do that. And then the last thing, and I didn't do it in this order, but at some point is that I did an asset alphabet where I listed one asset for each letter of the alphabet. So that there was also a focus on what I do well and the assets that I bring to the table. So that I wasn't focusing my entire time on step four on everything that I did wrong. And as I mentioned, after I finished my resentment inventory, I also did take time to look at what I had done well with respect to each of those relationships. But this asset alphabet was more general in terms of what my assets are and what I bring to the table. And of course, I shared it with my sponsor. And there was certain information which I shared only with my therapist. And then I shared some information at the group level as well. And that all was a positive experience. And it's getting easier for me to talk about the things that are on here. Even the things that I only shared with my therapist, then she referred me to another therapist, and then it was easier the second time to tell the second therapist about it. So it all gets easier each time I talk about it. And that was my step four. Glad it's done for the time being, but that was it. That's all I got.
Thank you, Colleen. Good night, Tucson. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Colleen.
You're welcome. Good night.
That was excellent. Thank you.